Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel, where Jesus says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And then from our other gospels, Jesus responds to that by saying, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, this last week I was kind of thinking about the things I've won in my life. And I really narrowed it down to three things. I've only won three times in my life. One was very early, and that was a hockey puck at a aid and association for Lutherans get-together. And it was a signed hockey puck by Gump Worsley. You probably don't know who he was. Back in the 60s and 50s, he was really, really good. He was the goalie for the Montreal Canadiens, won a bunch of championships. Well, when he came around to my dad's church in St. Paul, Minnesota, he was kind of at the end of his career with the Minnesota North Stars. And his only claim to fame at that point was he was the last goalie not to wear a face mask. So his face looked like a catcher's mitt. I mean, I'll never forget. But they called my name, and I came up, and he gave me the hockey puck, and I was so excited. The last thing I've won was that there used to be a coffee place. It's changed hands like three or four times since my kids were at Santium. But it's right by Santium on the main road there. And they had like a drawing there, and so I put my name and number in there, and sure enough, I won. And I won the grand prize. And it was this giant basket full of goodies, okay? There were coffee, and there was cookies and brownies, all homemade, and I was all excited about that. It never happens to me. Now, neither of these things do I have anymore. Okay, the hockey puck, no idea where that thing went. The goodie basket, the first day when I brought it home, I had one brownie. The next day when I came back, it's like a Wolverine had hit this basket. And my son came up to me very seriously. He said, "Well, you know, it was day old, and they were getting kind of stale, so I kind of get rid of them for you." You know? Now, again, goodie basket, hockey puck. Not a big deal losing something like this. Why? Because I got them by luck. Okay, it was just sheer luck. But the second thing I won in my life was not luck at all. It's this right here. Okay, it's a football trophy. It's seen better days. Okay, the football's not connected anymore, but it's still all shiny and everything. And it says Ethel Baston, that was the grade school I went to, A Division Champs 1976. And I still keep this to this day because this wasn't luck. Now, how I won that kind of started out as luck. The way they set up the playoffs back then, in say 1976 anyway, was they took the best teams in the division and the worst teams. And then they had to play each other. Now, we were the worst of the worst. We hadn't won a game all year. And then the playoffs started, and we won our first game, and then we won our second game, and then we won our third game, and we won the championship game. And it was exciting. We're all incredibly excited about this. Keep in mind, after this year, they changed this way of formatting the playoffs, okay, that a winless team would win the championship. That never happened again. But it happened this time. And I got the hardware, and I can still remember being at St. Louis Park Rec Center in the banquet room, and it was a huge banquet of sloppy joes and tater tots, and I remember them calling my name, and I came up, and they handed me this. I've had it all these years, and I was so proud. Now, in the playoffs, I didn't score a touchdown. I didn't get an interception. I didn't recover a fumble, nothing like that. I did some blocks. I tackled a few guys. That was about it. And yet I was on a team. And that award indicates I was on a team that against all odds won something. In this text, I really see Jesus starting his team. Okay, it's called the Christian Church. And we see how he builds that church, how he builds that team to last. This is when they are in the region of Caesarea Philippi. This is as far away from Jerusalem as they're ever going to be, and it's at this point he feels it's safe enough to ask them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ," and the other Gospels say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus says, "Your name is Peter now, and on this rock I will build my church." But it doesn't take maybe two or three minutes later, where it seems like the foundation of the church is a little shaky, right? Because right away he starts saying, heaven forbid that you suffer and die. And we can understand why he would say that and why he's speaking for the rest of the disciples. We have to kind of understand how they think when Jesus says things. Because they know Jesus speaks a lot of times in figurative languages, right? Just like the parables. He uses figures of speech, that type of thing, and stories. And so they could say to themselves, well, you know, maybe he's talking about this dying and everything in a figurative way. In other words, his presence, his teaching, all of these things, okay, in a figurative sense, they'll die because the leaders and the scribes will reject them. And then after a short period of time, then in a figurative sense, this teaching will come back to life again. They could have handled that. Their problem is, it says here, Jesus spoke very plainly to them. In other words, he is not speaking in figurative language. He's giving horrible details about a horrible reality. And Peter says, heaven forbid this ever happened to you. Peter, whose mouth had just spoken the first confession of the Christian church, now his mouth is a conduit for Satan to tempt Jesus. To tempt Jesus' human nature. Same temptation that Satan hit him with in the wilderness and all the way until the Garden of Gethsemane. The same one. And that was, Jesus, you need to look after yourself. Jesus, you need to show everybody that you're God. And Jesus, then you have to act like God. There's little wonder that Jesus turned on Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. Okay, so it doesn't really look like Peter is a very good foundation for the church. How in the world could Jesus found the church upon him? Here's the good news. He didn't. Okay? This is kind of where Greek, one of the times where Greek kind of comes in handy. Because when we look at the text in Matthew and Luke where it says, you are Peter and upon this rock I will build my church. In that, you see in that translation there, we have a Greek word and we have an English word. Right? You are Peter. That's a Greek word. And upon this rock, English word, I will build the church. So you don't really see what's happening here. When you look at it in Greek, you see it. Because it says, you are, he names him Petrus. And upon this Petra, I will build the church. Those are two different words. They sound alike, but they're different. Petrus means could be stone or rock. Petra always means rock. Petrus is a masculine ending, and Petra is a feminine ending. In other words, when Jesus says, upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church, he's not referring to Peter. He's referring to Peter's confession and the faith that led to that confession. He has spoken the first confession of the Christian church. And I think it's interesting, too, that he has another first. Peter does. If you read the book of Acts, he's the first person to open the gates of heaven to the Gentiles. God tells him to go to Cornelius' house. He goes there. He's all of a sudden in a house loaded with Gentiles. It's the last place in the world he would ever want to be or expect to be. And so what does he do? He follows God's lead, and that is he confesses his earlier confession. Jesus is the Christ. He gave his life on a cross and rose from the dead. He lives in your life to forgive you and to support you. He was the first one to give that confession to the Gentiles. He was the first one to see the Gentiles filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was the first one to baptize these Gentiles. And to make his confession their confession, which today is still our confession. The confession we make all the time, that in love for the world, God sent his Son. And that Son saved the world by dying on a cross and rising again from the dead. And because of that, we are loved and forgiven. Because of that, we follow where he leads. Because of that, we have an eternal future to look forward to. And we make this confession in the world because, number one, we know it's the truth. And number two, it's the only hope for mankind. Now, I have this. You know, and I'll never get rid of it, you know. I'll probably have this until the day I die, right? Because this is evidence of something for me, right? This trophy. Now, many years ago, I was on a team, and despite all the odds and all the failure, We won in the end. And that's what Peter's confession is. It's the same kind of trophy as that. The trophy that tells us that we are loved, that we are forgiven. It's a confession that tells us that we have the victory. And I thank God he's given us the faith to trust that and the will to confess it. In Jesus' name, amen.